Where do I start? I even taught philosophy of religion at a college. I studied Buddhism, Hinduism, Taoism, Confucianism, all the isms. And all the great philosophers. But I love about Christianity, and I confuse people every single day because I tell them, I don't like religion. Well, you're a Christian. Yes, I'm a Christian. I am in Christ. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a personal, intimate relationship with the Creator of the heavens of the earth, our Heavenly Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the lover of my soul. He has sought me, pursued me, and today I'm living the divine romance. It's not something that I'm waiting for till I go to heaven. I don't live today for the day when I get to heaven. I'm living the abundant life right now. The day I gave my heart to Him 20 years ago, that's when the greatest adventure started for me. I was in Damascus, Virginia, when I received my first vision where He took me to the cross. And I found out that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not a historical figure. He's not a great teacher. He is not a prophet. He is God. And He is alive. And He wants to have a relationship with each and every one of us. For me, as a Muslim, thinking that God wanted to have a personal relationship with me was impossible. So how my journey started is, number one, He took me to the cross, and He showed me that He died. I was still not convinced because I did not want Christ to be my God. For me, that meant I would lose my heritage, my family, my connections, my brothers, my sisters. I would lose everything for what I had just been showed, the revelation. But God did not give up on me. In 1996, I was watching a Christian program for the first time. I didn't know they had Christian program on TV at the time, and this preacher was talking. There was nothing else to watch, so I watched it. I had just gotten saved, still fighting that vision, and I heard the Holy Spirit says, go and get your Bible and open it to Luke 4:18. I had no idea who Luke was. I hardly knew who John was at that point. All I know is I had read in John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. As a linguist, it didn't make sense to me. How can a Word be God? He says, go and get your Bible and open it to Luke 4:18. The people of my generation might know, but when I was a child, we had a cartoon, Lucky Luke. He was a cowboy, and he shot faster than his shadow. He was the only Luke I could refer to. Much less know where Luke 4:18 was in the Bible. Lo and behold, I went and got the Bible that was given to me a few months previous to that and opened it up, and the Bible opened right on the scripture of Luke 4:18. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel. And you know the scripture about setting the captives free, opening the eyes to the blind, and all this. And I thought to myself, I'm not Jesus. Why am I getting this scripture? I'm not Jesus. I don't have any power. I'm just a woman. And on top of that, I'm just a woman that was a Muslim woman, meaning you pretty much are the submitted one, the second class one. You don't talk, you don't discuss. Today I'm very grateful that it's our inheritance in Christ Jesus, that each and every one of us has been given the ministry of Luke 4:18. Because each and every one of us are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and God dwells inside of us. But what I love about coming to Christ is I grew up with religion. I grew up with a very, very, very strict religion. It was what you wear, what you eat, what you don't eat, how you wash your hands, how you talk, how you think. Everything 24/7 is controlled by the dictates of the Quran. And that's what makes you a good Muslim. The problem is you can live as a perfect Muslim all your life until the day you die. There is no assurance of salvation as to where you're going to spend eternity. Therefore, you live in constant fear all your life about what happens, where do I go when I die? What I love about Christianity and being in Christ is when God told me to go and get my Bible that day, I heard the voice of God. God, the big one. And it sounded like thunder. And he said to me, I love you so much that I sent my son Jesus to die for you on the cross. Everything within me shook. I felt like a tree in a tornado, the thunder around me. I thought that God was distant and aloof, far away, even though I was saved. I just got saved, maybe a couple of months. But I still thought, God is over there. God is in heaven. And God is minding the world's business. Just little me over here. I didn't know he knew me by name. I didn't know he knew exactly where I was. I didn't know that he had a calling on my life. And he said, I love you so much that I sent my son Jesus to die for you on the cross. I said, okay, I can't hide anymore. God found me. And he touched my lips. And he says, from this day forward, you will have no other names on your lips but the name of Jesus. For the next 10 years after that, I went to Bible college, I went to church, I read my Bible, I prayed. But nevertheless, I still had strongholds in my mind. I believe that Jesus saved me and forgave me of all my sins before I got saved. Now today I'm saved, and I better be careful. Because if I mess up now, boom, I feel condemned. Boom, I have to work harder to please God. Thank God Jesus loves me. But the one sitting on the throne that I didn't know as Father yet, he was the one that was still keeping records of my daily deeds. Am I a good Christian? Am I reading my Bible enough? Am I praying enough? Am I fasting enough? Am I giving enough? Am I tithing? Am I treating other people right? How do I feel about myself? Do I love myself the way God loves me? Or am I filled with insecurities and self-condemnation and self-rejection? But I put on a face when I go to church and say, Jesus loves me, or Jesus loves you, and so do I. And it was all learning about how to become transparent. It was all learning that instead of going to Facebook and posting my life to people I don't know, is to get into this word over here that is like a mirror. I found myself in this book. When I would read this book and open it, I knew I was smart enough to figure it out. So I invited God, the Holy Spirit, who wrote this book. I would invite the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I don't understand this. I'm a linguist, but I don't understand this. So I want you to teach me. And before I knew it, I felt like Alice in Wonderland when she walked through that door. The words would jump out of the pages. I would start hearing his voice. And before you know it, I felt like I started living in two different dimensions. My feet are here on the ground, but my spirit is, like it says in Ephesians, seated in Christ Jesus in the heavenlies. I'm seated in Christ. And the Lord started speaking to me and showing me and giving me revelations and knowledge from this word, because this word is alive. But still, in the back of my mind, I still thought that Christianity is a religion. Because is God pleased enough with me today? Am I good enough today? Have I done enough? Oh, I need to do this. I need to strive to become a better person. I need to strive to be nicer. I need to strive to be more of a giver. And that's still religion. I didn't know how to receive by his grace, how to become, how to be. Therefore, he had to open the eyes of my heart and the eyes of my understanding, and by revelation confirmed by the word of God, show me that he doesn't want works. Amen. He does not want works for me. I was saved by faith and by grace. By grace, I like to say that grace is God's redemption at Christ's expense. It's everything that I couldn't do for myself that Jesus did for me. And today I like to say that I have entered the land of rest in my spirit, because I go to the finished work of Christ and what he has done for me, and to let him live through me. Christianity is not a religion. In 2007, I was like, Lord, this Christianity is so hard. It is so, so hard. I don't know, because I still thought I had to measure up to a certain standard of becoming righteous, doing good, being good. I had no idea that the Bible says in Isaiah that Christ took our filthy rags and clothed us with his robe of righteousness and crowned us back with the glory that Adam lost in the garden. I didn't know what that meant, that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, till he showed it to me. And that's what I want to share with you from this beautiful song that you just sang. This is what you're made for. This is what you're called to do. If you will dance with me, then I will dance with you. I'll spin myself upon you. I'll embrace you in the night, for this is a love song. In 2007, I had this dream where I was walking on the pathway of life, and I was wearing what looked like a white robe, but it was no longer white. It was very, very dusty. It was very, very tired looking. And that was the robe from all my striving, all my weariness, all my trying to say I'm a servant of God and I'm working for God and I'm trying, but I have all those issues in my life that you don't know about. Down, I have things from my past that are still condemning me, that are still holding me back. There are some people from my past that are still reminding me of my past and not letting me be who I am today. So I still feel in bondage because those people are not letting me become who Christ wants me to be. They always want to remind me where I was and where I came from. And it's tiring. So I'm walking, I'm wearing this robe that is very weary like me, and I'm like on this path. And across from me, Jesus comes to me, but he's walking across from me. I look at him, and I'm mad at him. I'm mad at him because this Christian life is hard. This Christian life feels like works. This Christian life feels like burdens. The only time I get relief and reprieve is when I get by myself and read his word and remember the dreams and the visions he gave me about his love. That's the only place I can escape for peace of my heart. And I says, Lord, this life is too difficult. And he spoke to me, he says, good. I never meant for you to live the Christian life. There's only two things I want from you. Believe in me and believe in my love for you. I thought, that's it? That sounds so romantic. Without substance, really. That's it? I don't have to do anything? Just believe in you and believe in your love for me? God knows how stubborn I am. I need more confirmation. I need more. Give me more proof. Give me more. And it has to be in your word, God. If not, I'm not receiving that. So in that dream, Jesus is walking on this path. So obviously I'm here. And he looks at me. But he doesn't come to me. He waits till I come to him. And the most beautiful thing happened. He took that filthy robe of self-righteousness and works. The Holy Spirit did my hair and, like a chignon, put it here on top. And he put this beautiful crown on my head. And he took that robe and he put like a beautiful royal white robe all over me. I've never been treated like a princess growing up. I never played princess. I never played dressed up because I was too busy raising my mother's kids, being the first of 12. I had a new baby every year. So I was too busy washing diapers by hand and making food for babies to ever think of myself as a princess or to grow up as a princess. I knew I was my daddy's princess, but I was too busy being a Martha, a servant, serving others. So my identity to see myself as a princess or as the bride of Christ was so foreign. And as he put that crown over my head and that white dress, then Jesus took me in his arms and with his heavenly song danced with me. And he healed my spirit that day because my identity as a Christian totally changed. I don't serve God so he can love me more. God at the cross at Calvary paid the price in full. I am totally and conditionally loved by God. I only serve God out of the overflow of His love for me. I do not try to please God anymore, because I know I'm totally pleased. He's totally pleased because He sees me in Christ Jesus. And Jesus was punished full, completely, for all my sins, all my condemnation, all the wrath of God, everything, all the penalty. Jesus took it on me. When God looks at me now, He sees me in Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and so are you this morning, not because of my works, not because of my performance, because of what Jesus did at the cross. What I love about the bride of Christ is truly, this is the greatest love song in the universe. When I share my testimony in my community, or I do counseling with ladies, I'm always sharing about the love of God and the love of Christ and showing them who they are in Him. We are not workers. We are lovers. They are completely loved. In Christ, there's neither male nor female, so gentlemen, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and you are crowned with His glory and bride of Christ. When I go overseas and I'm no longer in front of Christians, but I'm in front of Muslims, it's a different story. They don't care how much I know. The first time my parents saw the transformation in me by God's love, I didn't go and tell them, hey, this is what I believe in, this is what the Bible says, this is that. I totally trusted the Holy Spirit to do whatever He was going to do. You know why? Because God loves them more than I do. God knows them better than I do. God knows their need better than I do. I don't have the power to save anybody, but He does. And the only thing that I can do is come in agreement with Him and to walk with Him and to lean on Him and to trust Him and to partner with Him. So as I fly overseas, I always tell Him, Holy Spirit, whatever you want to do, reveal yourself, manifest yourself. I'm His vessel. I'm His bride. And what my family and what my people are looking for is reconciliation with God, peace, the shalom. I love mingling with other cultures. I have friends pretty much from all over the world. And I was talking to a friend of mine a couple of days ago, and she's from Puerto Rico. Interestingly enough, she grew up Catholic, and then she became a Christian, meaning in Christ. And her aunts were not very happy about it. And I was like, wow. That's amazing. I'm not the only one that struggles with a different beliefs. And she told me something very profound. She says, you know, when I was talking to my aunts, I had to make them realize we are all on the same boat. We are all on the same boat. We are all born into this world, and we are going to go and spend eternity somewhere. And what I love about being a Christian today is the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's not something we have to conjure up. It's not something we have to make. Every child in this room, every man and every woman in this room has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which in the Old Testament they didn't have. The Holy Spirit came upon them, but the Holy Spirit did not indwell them. And knowing that God lives in our heart, that He's enthroned in our heart, and that He loves us so passionately, that He wants to have a divine romance, for me is what gives me the fuel and the courage to go to cultures who are not pro-Christ or pro-Christianity. For me, it's the perfect love of God that casts out all fear. I am not afraid to share the gospel with anybody. I don't care who it is. Because if we love people enough, if we know how much we are loved by Him, if we know His heart for us, then we want other people to be touched by His love. We want other people to drink of His living waters. We want other people to eat from the bread of life and not perish. So today, what makes me dance, what makes me sing, what makes me laugh is the love song. Is knowing that God loves me passionately, the Father loves me passionately, the Holy Spirit loves me passionately. And I know that Jesus, the lover of my soul, is the one that protects me, the one that provides for me, the one that goes before me and makes the crooked places straight. He's my wisdom, He's my strength, He's my safety, He's my refuge, He's my everything. And perfect love cast out all fear. I wish as a child, one of you, I don't care who in this room, one of you would have knocked on my door at my parents' house and handed me a Bible. But nobody came. The only people that had the courage to come were the Jehovah Witnesses. And they only left a pamphlet. I didn't see any faces. I thought the wind just blew the brochures on the door. And after I became a Christian, it really, really bothered me, because every time they heard the word Muslim, I could feel the Muslim, the fear, the automatic terrorist, and I'm like, how are you going to win the world for Christ if you, the people of God, indwelled by the power of the Holy Spirit, still have fear? If you are more interested in self-preservation and self-protection than really fulfilling the great commandment. What was the last thing that Jesus said before He ascended to heaven? He said, go. Did He say go only to the safe places? Did He only say go to the places when you're retired, then you can take evangelism as a hobby? Did He go and say, go and evangelize only the people that look like you? Only the people that speak like you? Only the people that like you? Thank God I don't trust my flesh. Thank God I don't rely on me. Thank God that I know that He's with me and in me and for me. And so, this morning I'd like to share about the love song and what it has to do with evangelism. When I fell in love with my husband here, he's all I talked about. I still tell everybody, he's my love dove. And they laugh because we have nicknames. He's my love dove. He's my honey. We have our love language. That's only ours. Well, it's the same with the Lord. We have our love language. It's the cross of Calvary. Some women like to wear heart around with big diamonds to show how much their husband loves them. Oh, big, big diamonds on their hand. I want to wear a cross. Because every single day when I look at my cross, I hear God in heaven say, I love you so much that I send my son Jesus to die for you on the cross. And you are totally forgiven in my eyes because my son paid the price in full for you. I've been set free from condemnation. Romans 8:1 says, therefore there is now no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I want to go into all the world. Hello? Going to all the world starts right here in this town. What about the neighbor? What about the person down the street? What about that coworker that we really can't stand? God put me to the test many times. He had me love and pray for people I could not stand. That was awful. But the beautiful thing that came out of it was the transformation in my heart. It enlarged my heart. It gave me more compassion, more understanding. So, as Kurt and I are going to Europe this summer, I don't look at it as a vacation. I don't care about going to the south of France anymore and going to the fancy restaurants or going to the beach. My sister lives 5 minutes from the beach. She's got a wonderful swimming pool. The food is always awesome with my family. I have 11 places to visit because all my siblings live along the coast. My heritage is originally from Palestine down to North Africa, Algeria. I'm French Algerian, and therefore I have a lot of feisty brothers, a lot of Muslim mentality and feisty. And me going there like a desert rose and saying, they've known me all my life. I grew up with them. They know me better than most of you will never know of me. Those people, you cannot fool them. If it's not real, forget it. And the only thing that makes a difference is, are we transformed from the inside out? Are we a living epistle, meaning, am I the indwelling presence of Christ? Do I have the indwelling joy of the Lord? Do I have his long-suffering and his patience? Do I have what Jesus, Nicodemus says, what does a man have to do to be born again? And he says, the kingdom of God is within, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I could never have peace after I got saved because I still believed that Christianity was a religion. I still had the wrong belief that I had to strive to become a better person. I had to strive to read the Bible more, give more, and so forth. I didn't know that I became righteous in Christ the moment I received Christ in my heart as my Lord and Savior. Then that gave me the peace. Then that gave me the joy. I don't have to work to go to heaven anymore. But it is my pleasure and it is my delight daily to share the love that I have received with others. It is my delight to tell the ladies around me that they are the daughters of the Most High God, that they have a divine identity. Someone was saying earlier, let's pray for what is in the spirit to manifest in the natural. Everything starts in the spirit. in the natural, none of us here are beggars or paupers or small or insignificant or not important. Each and every one of us in this room, we are royalty. But the heart of God the Father is to bring more of His royalty into the kingdom. There's some out there that are orphans. God wants His children to come back home. God wants His children who are outside of the kingdom, lost, to come into the kingdom. Because He loves them. Because Jesus died for each and every single human being on the face of the earth, regardless of your background, ethnicity, color. It doesn't matter who you are. And for me, when I see all the flags of all the different countries, and people talk about revival, I believe in personal revival, because one match can ignite the whole fire. One match. But if we have 100 matches that are kind of wet, lukewarm, no fire. I'd rather go overseas and take somebody with me that knows they are God's beloved, than to take somebody with me that went to seminary, that has a doctorate in religion, but never, ever, ever had an encounter with the living God, never, never received the love of God in their heart. I don't want to have anything to do with bookworm people. I want to surround myself with God lovers. Those that know that they love God because He first loved them. I love Him because He first loved me. I love Him because He's the one that showers me and fills my heart with His love first. When I would read in the Old Testament, love God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, I was like, oh my God, how am I supposed to do that? I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to love God with all my heart and all my mind and all my soul. I have no idea how to even love myself. And that's when I read the scripture that I love Him because He first loved me, and that God is the giver, I'm the receiver. God gave, and I start receiving. And today, I love God because He first loved me. I love God because He's the one that sent Jesus to the cross 2,000 years ago, before I was even formed in my mother's womb. I love God with all my soul because He's the lover of my soul. He sings songs of rejoicing over us. And as we delve into this word, for me that is truly the divine romance, the divine love song, that sets us apart from any and every other religion where everybody is trying to become. We're not trying to become. We are being transformed by Him and the power of His love to be who He created us to be. But let's enjoy and let's rejoice. I am not going to wait and rejoice when I get to heaven. The abundant life is right here. What people from my culture are looking for, they're not looking for somebody that dresses nice and prim, that talks good, that... No. It's the inward man. The man of the spirit. If you're in love with Him, you'll share Him with others. I've been around people, and until I tell them that I am a Christian, they never bring it up. If I have to guess that someone is a Christian, that they will not come up front and talk about him. I have to wonder, is he last on your list? How come he's not the lover of your soul? Do you trust him? Do you trust him every single morning when you wake up? Do you rely on him? Do you ask for his help? What I love about my husband, Kurt, is he's not afraid to cry. When he gets moved by the Holy Spirit, he just weeps. When he prays over me, he just weeps. Because he knows he is the bride of Christ. He knows the price that Christ paid for him. He and I talk about it. He's a macho guy. I mean, he's a strong guy. But nevertheless, in his spirit, he knows he is the bride of Christ. That there is a great, great party waiting for us when we get to heaven. But it's already happening here. Let it be on earth as it is in heaven. I don't want to be a miserable Christian to think that I have piety, so I have to be miserable and reserved and shy. And who wants to be a Christian after that? The girl that brought me into the kingdom, her name was Mary. She was from Laos, that witnessed to me. I'm telling you, she was so in love with Jesus because she was receiving his love so much through this word that I promise you, I thought he was hiding in her closet. I was convinced that Jesus was in her dorm. And I wanted to see her Jesus. Thank God she never invited me to her dorm, because that would have been scary if I, at the time. But for me, that's what it meant to be so in love with God, because you have received so much of the love of God that you're totally transformed, that you don't have to be a scholar, that you don't have to show off, that you don't have to pretend to be better than other people. It will just emanate out of your spirit and out of your soul. The lover of our soul. I love the book of John, because John is the only one that calls himself God's beloved. Does that mean that Jesus loved the other disciples less? What's the difference? The difference, he had a personal revelation of Christ's love for himself. That's why he calls himself God's beloved. I call myself God's beloved. Other people say, well, you're prideful. No, I'm not. You should be humble. I am. Being humble is when you come in agreement with what God says. God says, I'm his beloved. What do you say about yourself? Are you going to become God's beloved? Is it going to be Jesus and your works that's going to make you feel more loved, more approved, more accepted, more bold in your faith to go and share with the lost? What are you waiting to become that Jesus has not already done? The only thing that's left is God is a giver. Take, receive. By faith, receive, take, take, take. I'm a great taker with God. I am. When I was a little girl, I'm daddy's girl, even to the point when I was a teenager, my mother knew that dad would not give her the checkbook. So mom sent me to dad. She says, you go to your dad and you tell him I need $800 for this suit I saw in town. So I went to Dad. And I said, Baba, Abba, which is very intimate term with the Father. There's a covenant relationship between my Father and I, a blood covenant relationship. I'm his flesh, I'm his blood, I'm his daughter, I'm the apple of his eyes. And I went to Baba and I said, Baba, Mom wants $800. I need a check. After he'd already said no repeatedly to my mother, I said, Baba, I need a check for mother. And my father tried to be so stern and so serious, so dignified. I have a very proud father, but he's got a golden heart. Very few people know that because of the appearance. I said, Baba, I need a check, $800. Mom wants to buy a suit. And my father could not contain it anymore. His face broke into a smile. And he was looking at me like, man, why did she have to send you after me? Because you are my daughter, you are my heart, you're the apple of my eyes. I can't refuse anything. Here's a checkbook. Now go. Thank you, Baba. I'll be back. And I did not realize that my mother, I was not doing it for me. I was not doing it for my gain. I was doing it for my mother because my mother knew that I had supernatural favor with my father. My mother knew that I had access to my father that very few people have. My mother knew that I love my father because he is my father. My mother knew that I honor my father. I don't go to my father to take advantage of him or manipulate him into giving. And that's how we are with the lover of our soul. He says, ask and you shall receive. Knock and you shall be open. If you come, Revelation 3:20. Revelation 3:20, I have prepared a place for you. When we go to my mother's house, in my father's house, I already told my husband, I said, ready, they're going to feed you till you can't stand it anymore. Lots of food, lots of desserts, lots of meat, lots of... Because it's the time to build relationships. Real relationships around a meal. When I want to build a real relationship with you, I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm not going to agree with you for the sake of agreeing with you. I'm going to listen to you and respect you for your opinion, but I'm going to be me. We have individuality in community. But what we have in common, the one thread that we have in common, is covenant. What happened to covenant? You're my sister in Christ. I should be able to call you, come to your house and have a cup of coffee with you. I need two eggs. I should be able to come to your house and get two eggs to make a cake and next week bring a new pack of eggs. Because you're my sister in Christ. Because we are community in unity. Or is it just something that we say? Are you my sisters and my brothers in Christ? But if I cross you in the street tomorrow, you don't know me, I don't know you. I give you the shoulder, you give me the shoulder. Because you know better, you do better, you look better, you feel better. Or is it about him? When are we going to bring him right here in all our affairs instead of thinking he's up there in heaven and once in a while he peeks out of the windows of heaven and says, I see you, I heard that prayer, I'm there with you. Honey, come here. Come here. When are we going to see him like my husband and I, wherever we go? We hold hands. We walk together. Okay? We walk together wherever we go. Okay? When are we going to see ourselves the same way with Jesus? Or is Jesus, sit on your throne, lover. No, you're Jesus. You're not the judge. Oh, Jesus, thank you for dying for me at the cross. I owe you big time now, okay? So, I am, okay? I'm serving you today. I'm bringing you a meal tomorrow. I pray for you. Thank you for saving me. I know it's all by grace, but I'm tired. I've got to wake up in the morning and go and serve you to pay you back for what you did for me. What can I do for you? What can I do for you? That does not spell evangelism where I come from. That spells stinky religion. I don't want to become a Christian like you. I don't want to become a Christian like you and leave my faith if I have to work hard at yours too. I'm exhausted for mine. The only thing that will attract me into your kingdom is to know that the creator of the heavens and the earth died for you because he loves you, because he loves you, because he loves you, because he loves you, because love, L-O-V-E, because he can't live without you, because he was shredded, he was disfigured, he was spat on, he was beat up for you, Darren. He took all your sins on him. If I beat my husband like that, I would go to jail. He was naked at the cross and shamed. He took all my shame and all my nakedness and covered me with his righteousness. He who had committed no sin became sin for me. For me, when you bring God down here, dying on the cross for me, I want to serve the God of love. I don't want to serve the God of Moses. Moses did not die for me on the cross. I know the law is holy. The law is perfect. I'm not disputing that. Oh, but I know also that Jesus came to fulfill the law. I am dead to the law today because of Christ's grace in me. So evangelism, I don't see myself different from you. You're the one that's telling me I'm different from you. I see my humanity. I see your humanity. The only difference between you and me, if you're truly in Christ, is you have a joy and you have a peace and you have a blessed assurance that no matter how deep my pockets are, I can't pay for. So how do I get it? Please tell me. So that's the divine romance. He dances with us. When he danced with me, that was not the last vision that he gave me. I was reading the book, The Seer. I don't remember. Gaul, I think, was the author, which gave me a lot of assurance because I thought the dreams and visions maybe there was something wrong with me, because not a lot of people were talking about dreams and vision. And you feel kind of different, and nobody likes to feel different, seriously. Everybody kind of likes to belong and be accepted, and you start talking about dreams and vision, and people are like, well, I don't have visions. How come you do have visions? Well, I don't know. Maybe I am more hard-headed or dumber or more messed up than you, maybe. I don't know. I don't know. And then you don't want to feel people like they're less because they're not having the dreams and visions. So I was like, how am I going to tell them about the seer? So I read the book. I got the book. I read it. And I was doing praise and worship. And I was tired. And I laid down and I says, Jesus, hold me. That was before I met my husband. I said, Jesus, just hold me. I am just tired. And I remember 2008, I still had the CD player, you know. CD player with the headphones. And as I'm laying down, I'm having an open vision. And in the open vision, I'm awake. I'm just having an open vision between awake and asleep. And in this one, come here. In this one, this is Jesus. And I'm like this. And we are there, and I see his back. I see Jesus' back, and he has all the scars of the stripes, even now. And I'm behind him, and I'm just, I'm touching the scars. And we're talking about, can you do the math? Because I can't. 1994, 2008, how many years is that? Okay. 14 years later, for my first, where he took me to the cross, where I saw him crucified, to 14 years later, and he gives me a revelation of me standing there and touching the scars on his back, and my heart is broken again for the pain that he took for me and for you and for each and every one of us. And he looks back like this. Turn your neck. You need to go to the chiropractor. Okay. And Jesus looks back at me, and instead of having that, yeah, I did that for you, you know. Instead, he looks back at me, and he, with so much love, with so much, just like my daddy, the love of a father, he looks at me and say, yes, I took all this for you, because that's how much I love you. And then, he was not finished. I mean, and then I take his hand, and lo and behold, it's still pierced. It's got a big hole in his hand. And I just started weeping and weeping and just weeping. And he says, go back to Isaiah 53 and believe it. All the things that I took upon myself for you. Your health, your wealth, your provision, your everything that you need in this life, I took it upon myself, because for only one reason, that's how much I love you. Romance, the divine exchange. So for evangelism, another thing is, as Christians, please, let's stop trying to give other people we are better than them. Let's stop trying to make other people feel like we are the saved and the righteous, and they are the stinky ones waiting to be. Let's give people the honor and the respect, according to what we were singing, Psalm 139, we are wonderfully and beautifully made. God didn't start loving me the day I gave my heart to Christ. He loved me, created me, and loved me. And the day I gave my heart to Christ, I don't think He will ever love me more than He already does right now. I believe that He loves me completely and unconditionally, because the last thing that Jesus, who never had a place on earth to lay His head down, found one place to lay His head down. It bugged me reading the Bible. I was like, where do you go to sleep, Jesus? Where do you go at night? Where is your pillow? Where is your house? It bugged me reading the Word, and I wouldn't share that concern with other people. Because sleep, rest, where do you rest, Jesus? And He finally found His place of rest when He gave up the ghost and went, it is finished. It is finished for you, 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 for you. It is finished, it is finished, it is finished. He finally found His place of rest when He paid for our salvation, for our redemption, for us, each and every one of us today, to be here with eternal life and knowing we are deeply loved and completely loved. He finally rested. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you are interested in how God brought this Arab Muslim lady into the kingdom of God, wonderful details in this book, Desert Rose, Back to Eden. Kurt will take your orders, and that's how Fatima and I met. She wanted to put her heart down in this book, and she thought I could help her. All I could do was to introduce her to someone else that helped her. But it's beautifully written here. So if you would like to read the details, I guarantee you, you will not be bored. Thank you.
Mike's going to come up and just play some music, and our leadership's going to gather over here this morning. If you need prayer for anything before you leave this morning, or just some agreement in prayer, whatever the need, we're going to be over here for you. If you need to come to the table, or just want to come to the altar, or just sit and soak this morning and just take in what you've already heard, then just feel free to do that. If you're full and you feel that God spoke to you and you're blessed, then I bless you on your way. I bless you with peace. And the most important thing all week you can do, listen to Jesus. Amen. All right, love on each other as you go then, if you are leaving. And as I said, then if you want to just sit and soak or come pray, feel free to do so. Be blessed. Love you. Have a great week.